J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt of the world. Cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithwick's and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Get to heaven, I'm gonna take that wristwatch off my arm. What are you gonna do with time after you bought the farm? And then I'm gonna go find my mom and dad and good old brother Doug. Well, I bet him and cousin Jackie are still cutting up a rug. I wanna see all my mama's sisters, cause that's where all the love starts. I miss them all like crazy. Bless her little hearts. And I always will remember these words my daddy said. He said, "Buddy, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead." I hope to prove him wrong. That is, when I get to heaven. Cause I'm going to have a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Yeah, this old man is going to town.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, June 24th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. Cardinals can't score or pitch. The Redbirds have scored 2 runs or less in 30 of their 74 games. Only by the grace of God and the fact that nobody in the National League Central Division is trying to run away with things is the fact that Mike Schultz still has a job. This is a normal season where, you know, one or two teams really excel and they start leaving everybody else in the dust. Mike Schultz would have lost his job by now. But the fact the Cardinals are still, I don't know, 3.5 or 4 games out of first place before the All-Star break, I just don't think you're going to see any changes. And I got nothing against Mike Schultz, and I'm not one of these guys who has a hair trigger when it comes to replacing managers, but for God's sakes, the problem is not just the one loss record, and the Cardinals now are two games under 500. It's the fact that even Dan McLaughlin and Jim Evans, who were doing the game yesterday, were talking about how boring it was. Nothing going on, nobody hitting, pitchers walking, guys. And they didn't even have to go all the way to Detroit to watch it because, for some reason, the announcers are still sitting back home in St. Louis in a studio calling the play-by-play. I don't know why that now that things are loosening up all over the place, why they don't want to go on the road or can't go on the road or what the accommodations are for Major League Baseball to, you know, have announcers that actually go on the road. It's not just the Cardinals. It's all these guys. Everybody's doing the road games from a studio or the press box at their home stadium. So is this thing sort of over or is it not sort of over? Well, the answer is it ain't. Because in the state of Missouri, in the last 14 days, Missouri leads the nation in COVID cases, up 55%. In the last 2 weeks, Oklahoma up 53%, Arkansas up 46%, Utah up 24%, Arizona up 8%. But Missouri leading the nation in COVID cases in the last 2 weeks. I can't imagine that would have anything to do with the state's position on COVID or masking or inoculations. We got a pig farmer running the state. I rest my case. I want to talk about the space program here for a minute. You know, when we were little kids, there was nothing more exciting. And I hate to reduce people to a cultural stereotype, but it always seemed like the boys were more interested in this stuff than the girls. I didn't see any reason for that because, as far as I'm concerned, the space program should have appealed to everybody. Maybe it was the way we were being taught back in the late 50s and 60s or something. I don't know. Maybe there were still so many cultural stereotypes involved in something like this. But I remember my dad waking me up in the middle of the night. We'd go sit on the front porch. It was freezing ass cold in Chicago in the middle of winter, but you could sit there and you would watch Sputnik go over the top of the atmosphere. And it just looked like a little star, you know, moving across the horizon, but it was still very, very cool to know what it was and to know what it was leading to. And then, of course, John F. Kennedy makes his big speech about putting a man on the moon before the end of the decade. And as I've often said, it wasn't a big deal that we went to the moon. The big deal was that we did it in 1969. Go to the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. sometime and get a real good look at that space capsule and some of the other artifacts from the Apollo, from the Mercury, especially the Mercury space program. Jeez, it looked like something that somebody built in their garage. There were like little nuts and bolts and screws and everything that could have come loose. And you're talking about claustrophobia. You know, I'm not that bad. I can do a closed MRI, but there's no way I could have gotten in that space capsule. But it was very exciting. And if you were around in the 1960s, you remember that, you know, you would have class suspended. I remember one instance where they said, you don't have school tomorrow. We want you to watch this whole space program thing on TV. And then we're going to talk about it in school the next day. So we got a day off just to watch. I think it was still the Gemini program back then. It was probably mid to late 1960s, somewhere in there. And just the whole idea of sort of Lewis and Clark in space. There's a lot of people think that this is a waste of money, but here's the thing. The space program takes up such a small sliver, even with the, you know, millions and even billions of dollars involved in the space program, it still takes up so little money out of our overall national budget. But the larger issue is that once man stops exploring, you might as well just throw in the towel and say, well, that's the end of our civilization. Man needs to explore, always. There's so much stuff just on this planet we haven't finished exploring. I mean, you start talking about the ocean. I saw a story, I think it was yesterday, that there are four brand new species that have just been discovered in the ocean. That means that four new kinds of animals have just been discovered, meaning that the Earth is still evolving and still producing new things. But I digress. So now you're like, well, you know, ever since man was able to lay in the grass at night and look up at the constellations, there's been interest in the space program and what's out there and are we alone and all that stuff. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that hot air balloon rides into space are about to become a thing. And the price tag is actually more accessible than you would think if you just take a second mortgage out on a house. A company called Space Perspective is taking reservations with the first space balloon ride set for just a couple of years from now, 2024. Up to 8 people can go at a time. Each trip lasts 6 hours, and one ticket costs $125,000. Now, you're not really going into space. You won't experience weightlessness. For the first 2 hours, you slowly ascend up to 100,000 feet, which is about a third of the weight of space. Then you just sort of chill up there for 2 hours before slowly coming back and splashing down in the ocean. $125,000 for what is basically the closest you can get to outer space for an affordable price. And they're like, yeah, $125,000. I'll just write you a check. It's not what I mean. The idea is that you would expect that this would be in the millions of dollars, but you know, you take out a second mortgage, like I said, $125,000, and you can at least take this trip. At the same time, I'm thinking to myself, how are these things regulated? I remember back in the 80s when bungee jumping started, and there were all these companies popping up all over the place. And people were flying off the hook, you know, and going down into the drink. Some people were killed. And it was because these people who were running the bungee jumping companies didn't know what they were doing. Same thing with hang gliding. Back in the 80s, I remember, like, you know, Hard Copy and Inside Edition and all those kind of tabloid TV shows were always doing stories about, you know, somebody who goes down to the Bahamas and signs up for the hang gliding, and the next thing you know, they find them on the roof of a hotel, or worse than that, stuck to the side of a hotel because something goes wrong, because these things just aren't regulated. And I'm like everybody else. I hate government regulation. But every once in a while, it's not a bad idea to have somebody at the government saying, excuse me, wait a minute, you're going to do what? And you might be saying, JC, isn't that sort of a stretch comparing bungee jumping and hang gliding to going up into outer space? No, not at all. A company pops up. They advertise this whole thing. You say, well, they must know what they're doing. Well, that's your first mistake, assuming that they know what they're doing. So we'll see whether or not this thing takes off, no pun intended. And then you go from a story like that involving high technology to a story like this. Very analog. A boat captain in Michigan found a 95-year-old message in a bottle last week, and the internet helped her track down the writer's daughter. The daughter even recognized her dad's handwriting, even though it was written in 1926, about 20 years before she was even born. I'm getting a new car next week. Some used cars are going for more now than their new sticker price because of a shortage of computer chips that has slowed production on new cars. We were talking about that with Skip Weber maybe a month or so ago, the fact that there's cars sitting in production lines in Detroit and in other cities that manufacture cars, but the companies that make the computer chips, and really at this point, your car is probably more computer than it is car. And without the chips, cars are basically worthless. So until the computer chip industry catches up, you're going to have weird stories like this. Speaking of the pandemic, a lot of us put on a few pounds last year. Luckily, losing weight, or just at least leveling off, is possible, but you got to watch out for the sneaky things that creep into your diet that will mess with your ability to lose weight. Focusing too much on calories in, calories out. The types of foods that matter too, not just how many calories you eat. A diet that's heavy in processed food is going to cause your blood sugar to spike and make you feel hungry all the time. Also, only snacking on unhealthy stuff. There's healthy snacks, you know, get some cashews or something like that. Doesn't taste as good as a donut or a bag of chips. Maybe not, but it's very satisfying. It's like anything else. You have to get used to it. If you get used to it, then you can control this type of thing. eating vegetables but the wrong kind. Try not to lean on starchy vegetables as much, like potatoes and peas. Non-starchy things like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, and mushrooms do a better job of making you feel full longer. Geez, you know, you go into Jersey Mike's or something like that now, they'll sell you a mushroom, portobello mushroom sandwich. There's nothing else in it but mushrooms and, you know, a couple of things like seasoning, whatever. You get the right portobello mushroom, you'll think you're eating steak. And the thing that's really killing us, though, is too much sitting around. Even the American Heart Association says we need at least 2 hours and 30 minutes of moderate exercise a week. 30-minute brisk walk 5 times a week. Very few people do it. Even before the pandemic, only 20% of Americans were hitting that number. People are going back on the road. Annual study of the best states for a summer road trip just came out. Now, like all of these things, you have to take into consideration the criteria. What are they looking at to determine what is the best summer road trip? In this particular study, it's cost, safety, how many attractions or activities there are, like national parks, amusement parks, beaches, lakes, and scenic drives. According to the results, the best state for a summer road trip this year is New York. And the worst state is Rhode Island. The 10 best summer road trip states are New York, Texas, Louisiana, Maine, North Carolina, Minnesota, Utah, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. The worst states for road trips, Rhode Island, Delaware, Connecticut, Hawaii, and Arkansas, which I'm a little surprised by because, you know, people who love the outdoors love Arkansas, going up into the hills and, you know, float trips and rivers and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not sure that I had ever even been in the state of Arkansas until about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. And then when we were living in Texas, we had to come through Arkansas all the time when we would drive back to St. Louis on vacations and stuff. And I just remember thinking to myself, what a dump. Now, Little Rock was actually very pretty. I liked Little Rock. I was surprised how nice it was for, you know, what is a basically a small town. And when I say small, I mean, you know, they don't have an NBA team or an NHL team or hockey or baseball or anything like that. You got some college stuff, Razorbacks, whatever the case may be. You got all that outdoor stuff, like you said, you know, boating and camping and hiking and all that sort of stuff. That's all real big in Arkansas in the designated areas. The problem is you get outside the designated areas, and that is a godforsaken looking state, and even the roads are terrible. By the way, Louisiana, the cheapest road trip state. Maine is the safest, and it didn't make the top 10, but California has the most stuff to do. You know, for all the talk there is about Missouri tourism, you know, I know we're up against 49 other states, but I don't see Missouri listed here. Then again, maybe I should count my blessings. At least we didn't make it on the list of worst road trips. How about this Britney Spears freak show involving her dad? Jeez. You know, in the 90s, every red-blooded American man wanted to boink Britney Spears, and now you probably could. Jerry Seinfeld writing, directing, and starring in a Netflix movie about the origins of the Pop-Tart. It's called Unfrosted, and it'll start production next spring. It was inspired by a classic bit he used again in his most recent stand-up special, which was called 23 Hours to Kill. After Seinfeld's show went off the air, that was the big question. What's everybody going to end up doing? There's a lot of talent on that show. Just Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jerry Seinfeld alone represented quite a bit of talent. Well, nobody heard from Jerry Seinfeld or Julia Louis-Dreyfus for quite a while after the conclusion of the Seinfeld TV series. And then one night on David Letterman, Julia Louis-Dreyfus came out and decided to exercise her vocal chops, and about halfway through the song, she introduced a special guest.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I am 16, going on 17. I know that I'm naive. Fellows I meet may tell me I'm sweet and willing. 16. Oh, how depend on you.
Julia, you are 16, going on 17, fellas will fall in line.
Eager young lads and roues and cads
will offer you food and wine. Totally unprepared are you
to face a world of
timid and shy and scared are you?
A queen's beyond my ken.
You need someone older and wiser telling you what to do.
You are 17.
Going on 18.
Great moment from Dave right there. How much longer are we going to allow Harrison Ford to fly helicopters? He's 78 years old, injured his shoulder while rehearsing a fight scene for Indiana Jones 5. Production's going to continue, but they'll have to shoot around him for a while. Late night tonight, St. Louis's John Hamm on with Jimmy Fallon. Robert Duvall on with Colbert. What an actor. Wow. Interviewed him about 20 years ago for a movie called The Apostle, and he was great in it, and it was a good movie. It was one of those little independent films. In the movie, his wife was played by Farrah Fawcett. Welcome to Hollywood. Salma Hayek says her boobs have gotten even bigger during menopause. Is this a great country or what? John McAfee, the antivirus software guy, took his own life in a Spanish prison cell. He was about to be extradited to the United States to face tax evasion charges. And Elton John's farewell Yellow Brick Road tour will hit the U.S. next summer. This summer just started a couple of days ago, and we're already being told. Never mind. Birthdays today. Mindy Kaling, 42. Jeff Beck, 77. The Lion King, the original one, was released on this date back in 1994, 27 years ago. It got to the point where my very, very young daughter at the time just would yell out tracks on the CD, be driving along. Number three, my voice is still all messed up from that steroid shot. Otherwise, I would do my Rafiki impersonation for you. Tom Brady popped up on James Corden last night. They're driving around in a golf cart, sort of like doing a version of carpool karaoke. It was very, very weird. You can see that on demand today or look around for it on the internet. But it was last night on James Corden. We're like 2 months away from the beginning of the exhibition season in football. The Super Bowl was only 4 months ago. There were 14 dot-coms that advertised during the Super Bowl in 2000. You always hear about those like $6 million commercials that you get 30 seconds and cost you, you know, $6 million. Okay. So that was only 4 months ago. 14 dot-coms advertised during the Super Bowl. Only four are still active. Auto Trader, Last Minute Travel, Monster, and WebMD. And I got to take you back to the middle 1990s. I think that's when I was working at that radio station called The River. The whole thing was just a mismatch. It just was a bad idea. Probably should have never gone there. But we were sitting there one day, and Mick Fleetwood, whose band Fleetwood Mac had broken up, was out on the road with Becca Bramlett. This is the daughter of Bonnie Bramlett of Delaney, Bonnie and Friends, one of the Burnett family members. It's not Rocky. It was somebody else, Billy maybe. You know, and they had some band and, you know, they're trying to make some new music. I'm like, sure, we'll have them on. Love to have Mick Fleetwood on. So we brought them in the studio. They were very, very nice. They were just great. And then I was supposed to interview Mick Fleetwood again for television later on in the day. So they said, okay, we're at this and this hotel. Come out at this time. So I get my camera crew from Channel 4 at the time. Actually, as I think about it, it might have been Channel 5. I have to look that up. But anyhow, it's not necessary to understand the story. We go on to this hotel, and let me just tell you something with regard to Fleetwood Mac. For a guy who was taking private jets all over the world for about 20 years and selling albums faster than they could manufacture them, you should have seen this dump of a hotel that they were in out by the airport. If my travel agent had booked me in this hotel, I would have said, you're fired. And I'm not kidding either. This place was a wreck. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you do this? How do you go from private jets and five-star hotels and deluxe accommodations, everything like that? Now you're staying in a place that I wouldn't stay in. Which led to a couple of interesting questions and a couple of equally interesting answers, courtesy of Mick Fleetwood. Today's JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day.
We were talking about this earlier. You start out as a blues band, then you go through the hypnotized days and Bare Trees and Son of a Lady and Bob Welch and all that.
Right.
And then you get Lindsey and Stevie coming in, and then they split, and then Fleetwood Mac kind of takes a hiatus for a while. And then you put out some solo stuff along the way, and now you got this reincarnation of the band. I mean, maybe it's a dumb question, because everybody would say, oh, come on, super group of the 70s, Lear Jets, millions and millions of dollars on a concert.
My God.
Is it an easy answer to say that that was the best days in all the years of Fleetwood Mac?
They were probably the craziest days. I mean, in terms of what happened during that period, it was basically a sort of a mutant event, because the album was one thing, which I'm talking about the Rumours album, really, that it took on such great proportions that no one could have imagined would have happened, you know, in terms of the success of the album. And we spent half our time talking about things, how much money we made, how many albums, which was phenomenal. It's still probably a record in terms of a band. It's still a mega, mega album. So in terms of an event, I think it's very unlikely that you're ever going to strike lucky like that twice.
Well, you know what I'm getting at, though, because cynics would say, Mick Fleetwood, it's like, well, you know, he had those great days with Fleetwood Mac when they were the super group and all that.
Right.
How can this be any fun now after coming off of that? But I'll bet you, from a creative standpoint, you're having a great time now.
Absolutely. I mean, the history of Fleetwood Mac has been synonymous with regards to doing that. Unlike, a lot of people in Europe, for instance, a lot of people here don't realize Fleetwood Mac's been going since 1967, when, of course, we were virtually unknown here, but very well known in Europe. In fact, in those days, we were even 1 year outsold the Beatles, and which is sort of unbelievable. I don't even believe it, but it is true. And that was with the blues lineup,
sure,
that you were first talking about. So for us, it's a very normal thing to be carrying on, and that's what we're doing. And unlike a lot of people, our breaks are sometimes looked at as, for sure, they've broken up. We've never broken up. We've always kept going. And
people are always so busy to try to get to the point where they can say,
they're broken up. They thought we were going to break up before we did the Rumours album. There's no way they're going to make that another album.
Blow up.
Someday somebody is going to do a very sort of definitive version of the song Superstar that was written by Bonnie Bramlett, Becca's mom, because right now all we really have is that stupid Carpenters version. I think it's one of the greatest songs ever composed. The problem is nobody really, like I said, definitive has ever really recorded the song. Somebody please do that. Anyhow, with all that in mind, that's it for the Thursday, June 24th edition of the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com. Please continue to spread the word that we're here every weekday morning. We post at 7 o'clock, 30 minutes, absolutely free for your enjoyment. Talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.